God's grace send us peace to you. This evening, as we continue our Advent preparation, preparing for our coming King. And tonight, we'll be taking a look a little bit at Exodus chapter 33, 19 through 20, our one reading for tonight. But before I get into that, let me just sort of begin with something true of my family. My grandfather was a very avid photographer. Whenever we would go anywhere, he would always have his camera with him, and he loved taking pictures, whether it be of landscape or especially of flowers and animals. He would take pictures of anything. Now, I will admit, with the landscape, it was very picturesque. With the flowers, you know, you could always move and adjust a flower, but just picture for a moment in the back of your mind, you're going to a zoo and you want to take a picture of that wonderful animal. Maybe it's a zebra. But the zebra's not cooperating. My grandfather's expression would be, he didn't want to take a picture of an animal or a zebra, the south end of an animal and zebra looking north. I think you would get an idea why. You'd rather take a picture of the face, not the hindquarters. Needless to say, he would get a little frustrated because he couldn't do much about it. Well, in today's text, we may also have someone who might be a little frustrated. Someone who also felt a little behind. That would be Moses. But before we get into Moses' problem, let's take a look at our concerns. How many times in our life does it seem like we're getting the short end of the stick? Or, to pick up my grandfather's expression, the south end of an animal looking north. How often do we feel behind when the many things in life seem to roll over us and mow us down, leaving us behind, and we're wondering, what just hit us? What just happened? How many times do we go through life, especially with maybe a tough economy, and despite your hard efforts to pay all the bills and working hard and getting on top of everything, it seems like you're getting further and further behind? Or maybe it's an illness. Some people, after they get on top of their one illness, seems like something else comes, and something else comes. And it seems like no matter how hard you try, you just never can get ahead in life. In times like this, we have to ask ourselves, what is the Christian to do? How are we to cope when it seems like life is getting ahead of us and we are further and further behind? How does your Christian faith help? Some people get the impression that as Christians, we're not supposed to have any problems. Everything's supposed to be good and wonderful. We're supposed to be ahead of the pack. However, I can't find a Bible passage to back that up. So let's just assume for the moment that Christians will struggle like the rest of the world struggles. Jesus even says, God makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Your Christian faith hasn't exempt you from all things in common with all people. This is where we might find a little bit of encouragement here from Moses in our reading for today from Exodus chapter 33. What's going on here, in one essence, is a little bit of encouragement. Moses had done everything that was expected of him. You may remember he went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." He led the people of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, down to Mount Sinai. He gave them the Ten Commandments, and then he was forced to deal with the golden calf incident. Moses dealt with that. Very dedicated to the Lord. And so finally, Moses is sort of feeling a little bit of that pressure, because even after all those accomplishments, guess what? Like you and like me, sometimes life got the best of him, and he needed that encouragement. Maybe he felt that he was sort of a little behind in things. So he asked a petition of God. In his petition, plain and simple, God, let me just see your face. Let me just make sure I can get an idea of who you are. We got a good relationship here, don't we? And by the way, wouldn't it be great to see God? Wouldn't it be great to behold his face? To have that special relationship and say, hey, I was able to see God face to face. Because God has also given us many things to do. First of all, he has provided for us with many things. He's the one who created us. He's the one who redeemed us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one who keeps us in this faith through the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be nice to have a real picture of God? Not just an artist's rendition, but a real picture. We also, like Moses, probably have also been very dedicated. How many times have we volunteered for things here at Trinity? How many times have we dedicated our lives? How many times have we shared of ourselves? Maybe not quite as grand of a scale as parting of the Red Sea, but you have given of yourself in one way or another for this gospel. So wouldn't it be nice to actually see God face to face? Well, that was Moses' petition. And it wasn't really out of line either. And so how did God respond? A little bit earlier in our text, or actually in our text for today, He says, "You cannot see My face, for man shall not see Me and live." At this point, I think Moses might have been thinking, "I'm getting the south end of God looking north." Well, actually, God did sort of humor Moses a little bit. God had Moses go to a certain part in the rock, and God said, "I'm going to put My hand, so to speak, over your face, and I'm going to pass by, and after I sort of go behind, or go pass by, I'm going to lift My hand, and you're going to see the south end of God looking north." You may be thinking, well, what kind of answer is that? It's actually an answer of hope. Sounds kind of strange. Just like my grandfather really wouldn't want to take a picture of an animal, the south end of an animal looking north, you might be thinking, what's so special about the south end of God looking north? And Scripture gives us that answer. Because in that piece of the rock where Moses was, Scripture says, God's glory was there. He didn't die. But that little moment, that one space and time, Moses beheld the glory of God. The true glory of God. Yeah, he didn't have that Kodak moment, so to speak, of God's face. But he understood God's glory. And wouldn't it be nice? And wouldn't it be wonderful to have that same desire to see God? And why do we have this desire? Well, plain and simple, God has put it into our hearts. Whether we know it or not, or whether we want to acknowledge or not, God has built into ourselves sort of an instinctive sense for something more, something beyond ourselves. Society without God doesn't quite understand this, but as a Christian, we are naturally drawn to that perfection of God. We also want to be like God. Actually, that was part of Adam and Eve's downfall. But Moses got a little bit of that glimpse behind God, so to speak, that glimpse of His glory. And with that glimpse comes hope. What God did for Moses behind His glory filled Moses' location with hope. Now, Moses was strengthened. Now he could go on because God had other uses for Moses, other tasks that he wanted to be accomplished. And in one essence, this is a little bit of what Advent is all about. Advent is a time of preparation. We prepare our hearts because something special is going to be coming. God is coming. The law within us makes us yearn for God, and the gospel message fills us with hope. True, we haven't seen the face of God. Not directly. We didn't even see the south end of God looking north. But we follow God. We follow after Jesus, who is the face of God to us. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone into our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of His glory is in the face of Jesus, as Paul reminds us. So seeing that face of Jesus is seeing God. So just think for a moment. Back in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph beholding God, the shepherds coming and seeing that baby Jesus, and understanding the wise men, Anna and Simeon, who understood that, yes, that person, that baby that they were seeing is actually God. They also were filled with the glory of God. Jesus comes so that we also may follow after him. Now, because we follow after him and we'd rather follow with him or in front of him based on our sinful nature, sometimes our nose may get bent out of joint. But we have to understand that if it was enough for Moses to see the south end of God looking north, it's enough for us to say we are following the one true God. Unlike Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, Anna and Simeon, we didn't have the opportunity to see God face to face in the very true man, true God of his Son, Jesus the Christ. But Jesus comes to us again to strengthen us. He calls us by name. He gives us his name through holy baptism. Our hope makes us eager so that one day we will no longer be following God, looking at the south end of God, looking north, but we shall see God face to face. Paul picks this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then," referring to eternal life, "face to face." Our hope is that our King is going to come again. We will see him face to face. Until that time, however, he still gives us of his glory. He still fills our hearts with hope, an expected hope, even though we are following behind Christ. Where is this expected hope? It is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives of himself through his word. He gives of himself again through his word and elements of bread and wine, now the body and blood of Christ, for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins. God is merciful. So if we feel like we are getting the short end of the stick, if we are feeling like the world has left us behind, let us not lose heart, but hang on to the hope that God has given to us. The hope that, yes, one day we will see God face to face with him in heaven above. So during this Advent season, we start behind, but we're not behind without hope. We're behind our loving Savior, following him with the hope that he is coming again, with the hope that we will see him face to face, with the hope of eternal life. During this time of Advent preparation, we prepare ourselves, reminding us of God's grace as he fills our sort of little aspect, our corner of life, with hope, even though the world may have left us behind. We know in God's eyes, we are beholding his glory. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.